apply to you from God our Father, from our loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I apologize earlier, the first microphone wasn't working, but here we are now. Let me ask you something. Have you ever read the Bible through a few times, maybe a given section through a few times over the years, and then one time you read it, and all of a sudden you see something that was there, but you never realized it before? It seems to take on bold print and wave at you and say, hey, look, this is something new. When I was a young pastor, I read that in a religious magazine. I said, you know, that is so true. It seems to say to pastors, this is new, preach on it. So that's what you're going to get today. Like it or not, here it comes. Now, the Beatitudes. I'm sure Pastor Schultz and Pastor Buscher have preached on those many, many times. They're wonderful messages. They sound real good until we examine them with law and gospel and we say, wait a minute, this is law. These are the things that we ought to be, and honestly, at times, we're not. Like, for example, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, sometimes I do. I long for the day, I'm hungry for the day when abortion will be over. I long for the day when sexuality will be what it was back in the Bible days or when I grew up. I long for the day when Bible and prayer will be back in public school. But then I'm longing for things that I have no control over and things that I cannot change myself. When it comes for me being better, that's a little different story. Why do I say they're law? Because the law tells us what we must do, and the Beatitudes do that. And I suppose there have been times when you and I have been shunned or made fun of because of our religion, but think about it. None of us have really stood up as much as we should have. We could also talk about the woes in this text, but I'm not going to. The thing I want to talk to you about this morning is what this text says that I never really realized, though I've read this 100 times. And the crowd sought to touch Jesus, for power came out of him and healed them. They were healed by them touching Jesus. Now, that's not really strange. We think of the woman who had the issue of blood. She said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And she did. What happened? Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, you know, the whole crowd is here and they've all been touching. And he said, no, somebody touched me and power came out of me. Well, was there magic? Not hardly. What did Jesus say to the woman? Daughter, take heart. Your faith has healed you. She believed in Jesus. She and they had already heard about Jesus. They believed he performed miracles. And this crowd and this woman said, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. Where did the faith come from? The Bible says, faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. They had heard and they believed. What did Luther say? I want you to repeat. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. You ever heard that before? It's the small catechism. As youngsters, you memorized it. Well, where did it come from? The gospel. What is the gospel? The just shall live by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And though our sins be as red as scarlet, he shall make them as white as snow. The gospel is God's love to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. For while we were yet weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And again, for God shows his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, there's another group of Christianity that claims, I found Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus has never been lost. He's the Good Shepherd. It is not we finding Jesus. It is Jesus finding us. Look at the leper. He came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you will, heal me." It says Jesus touched him and said, "You're healed." And he was. So we have people touching Jesus. We have Jesus touching people. But what about the Roman centurion? They said, "The man's servant is sick." Jesus said, "I'll go to him." And the centurion said, "Lord, I'm unworthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and he will be healed." Jesus marveled at this man's great faith, and he said the word from afar, and the servant was healed. But the Roman centurion had heard and believed. One thing this text shows us is that as humans, we are a touchy people. People wanted to touch Jesus. The woman wanted to touch Jesus. The man with leprosy wanted to be touched by Jesus. We, as humans, like to touch, and we want to be touched. Let's say, for example, you have an argument with your spouse or your loved one. It gets real heated, and then there's a separation. Then you're sorry, and you come back and you apologize. Then what? You hug, you kiss, or if you're a little bit not that close, you shake hands. But touching goes on. You're watching a football game, and your team is real close, and finally it wins. And what do? You hug each other around there, or you give a high five. We are a touchy people. We do it one way or the other. We meet a person of the opposite sex. We become friends, and we start to hold hands. That's touching. We become real good friends and we start kissing. That's touching. Now, what is the Christmas story according to St. John? You remember that? Remember the wise men and all that? St. John? No. You didn't remember that. It never happened. This is John's Christmas story. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, why in the world did that happen? It wasn't so that we as Christians would know that Jesus experiences these things, so therefore we know what it's like. No, he didn't need to do that for him to understand what we're like. He did that for us to understand that he experienced it. He knew, as humans, we like to be touched. And so he gave us the sacraments, water connected with his word to touch us. The Lord's Supper, bread and wine, containing in, with, and under the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to touch us. And in some churches, like the German church I came from, the public confession was sealed with the laying on of hands. People would come forward one at a time, and I would lay my hands on them and say, "I forgive you of your sins." Very personal, the act of touching. Perhaps you know this song. I'll start it out and see if you know the rest. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I am no longer the same. How many of you know that song? What's the rest of it? He touched me. He touched me, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. That came from a singing cowboy who was a very bad person. And then he changed. He heard the gospel and repented. And people said, "You know, you changed so much, you ought to write a song about it." And so he did. And so, why did you come here today? To be touched. To be touched by word and sacrament, to touch each other, to hug, to handshake. And one day, as you draw your last breath, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will greet you. And he will say to you, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the earth were laid." And I have no doubt at that moment, you will reach out and he will reach out. And you will touch each other in an embrace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us now share in the offertory.